The Ramen Noodle is brought to you by Gadgetos, the only cereal designed by geeks and for geeks, now with multi-core flavor. Find Gadgetos at your nearest Circuit City today. It's time for The Ramen Noodle, episode 115.
Nobody can blame ya. There's only one life worth living. They may try and shame ya, cause it cracks them up to see an amateur like you. But you gotta be your own kind of noodle. Add your own seasoning. Be your own kind of noodle, even if nobody else laughs along.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ramen Noodle Clean Comedy Podcast. I'm Daniel J. Lewis.
And I'm Jenny.
And I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Jeremy. And oh gosh, and I'm Jeremy. No. Jeremy couldn't be with us tonight. God rest his soul.
Oh dear, you're going to make people think he's died.
Well, to people who listen to an audio podcast, that is the little bit of life that they get from Jeremy. So it might be like Jeremy's vital signs is how he sounds in the podcast. And if he's not here, then, well, there's no body, so it's up to the listeners what they think happened to him. Listeners, please tell us what you think happened to Jeremy. Email feedback at cleancomedypodcast.com or call 903-231-2221.
Wow. If anybody does that, this will be interesting.
Yeah. Our next episode, which, by the way, we're going to skip next week, July 18th. So our next episode will be on July 25th. At 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That's our new summer schedule. But in that episode, it'd be great to have a bunch of voicemails on what happened to Jeremy.
We already have one person saying that a unicorn ate him.
Is that Hedgebow?
No, it's Roses Dancing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because Hedgebow has unicorn in her name now.
Hedgebow.
Check us out over on the website over at cleancomedypodcast.com. Any links or pictures or videos that we mention for this show, we'll be in the show notes at cleancomedypodcast.com/115. That's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of syllables.
It is.
Wait until we get to 787. Is that the highest, the most syllables?
I don't know. I just thought of that number.
Yeah, 787 will be a big number.
Maybe 777 or 700 and I don't know.
Yeah, because after then, we can stop forgiving each other for our mistakes. Was it seven times 70? 490. So at episode 491, it's going to be a very unforgiving episode. We'll just be all angry at each other.
You should make a note of that.
Actually,
so we can remember.
At this rate of doing about 45 episodes, this got my curiosity going. Doing 45 episodes, how old would I be when we do episode 490? Because there's just a chance that I might be old and senile at that rate. So let's see. That would be, oh, that's only 8 years from now. So I'd be almost 40. Not quite senile yet. Bummer. Can't use that clause. Well, hey, we've got some fun stuff for you tonight. Even though Jeremy's not here, God rest his soul. May he rest in peace.
Daniel, stop saying that.
We don't want God to rest his soul.
Well, he doesn't. His soul doesn't need to rest yet.
May the devil
wake up his soul. No, don't wish anything bad on him.
May bananas fall from the sky in his favor.
Oh, gosh.
May all the coconuts in his life ever be easy to crack open.
Telepriest says that he found a room of bacon, and that's why he's not here.
And he's just rubbing himself all over bacon.
Rub some bacon on it.
Because what happens when bacon gets messed up? Do you rub other bacon on it?
Yes, you rub other bacon on it. Fresh bacon.
Then the world collapses. Actually, if bacon messes up, I think the world is pretty much doomed.
Maybe you just buy new bacon.
Hmm. Maybe.
Random noodle update
for funny stuff within the last week or so. Now, we've got a string of stories that might remind us of things, and well, actually will remind us of some things from the past, some other little stories that we're going to share. But it starts with something that happened from the last week. And I'll go ahead and start off. Here in Cincinnati, there is a huge population of social media people. They're this little group of people that have light blue skin, and they live in this little commune outside of the city, and they're called the social media peeps.
What?
And they have sugar on them, and they feel like marshmallows if you touch them, too. But they're really social on the internet.
Sounds like they'd be good on s'mores.
And so there are all of these social media groups where all these social media peeps like to get together. Well, because there are so many. And because
I had no idea what you were talking about at first. I was like, blue? They also come yellow and pink, you know, and now green.
Yeah, but they're mostly blue. Like Flickr actually, is blue, Twitter is blue, Facebook is blue, MindSpace is blue.
That kind of blue. I was talking about peeps. The traditional peeps are actually yellow.
Well, Cincinnati has been known and recognized as the most social city last year. They were. This year, not so much. We're not so social anymore. I guess we've gotten old and senile. But we have this group.
I just love that word tonight, senile.
We have this group that meets up on the last Saturday, or not just last Saturday. I think it's June 29th. Well, ended up being the last Saturday of June. And it was for Social Media Day. It's kind of like Blindness Awareness Day. Social Media Awareness Day, sort of. Like, be aware that social media exists, or be aware of Twitter. But we get together, a bunch of these social media peeps, and we all tweet together and make very, very little eye contact as we're looking at our devices and tweeting at each other and talking like that. Well, at this party, which is held at a restaurant, and I'll put it this way. Alcoholic beverages were available at the restaurant. I didn't have any, but they were available.
I drank tea. What did you drink, Daniel?
Coke, I think, and then ginger ale. This podcast is not sponsored by Coke or ginger ale.
Or tea.
But it is sponsored by the letter Q.
Oh, goodness.
At this party, they wanted to kick things off and have a little competition to see who could win this t-shirt that said like Social Media Day or something like that on it. And so the lady that was leading it called out to everyone, who here can juggle? I need someone who can juggle. And I looked around and, well, first of all, not many people were paying attention. They're all looking at their phones. So it took a little while for the tweet to get out. Hey, does someone know how to juggle?
Typical geek event. Nobody's looking at the speaker. Everyone's looking at their device. Brilliant.
It's almost the ones that look at you when you're speaking at a social media conference.
It's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Yeah,
it's either they're low tech or they're falling asleep.
Oh, goodness.
But no one else there offered that they could juggle. I thought, well, I can juggle. And I can. I know how to juggle. So I got up there on stage and she said that what she wants me to do is to juggle these little balls that all have little Social Media Day symbols or icons on them.
Were they the puffy balls?
They were like stress balls, like little cushy, squeezy stress foamy ball kinds of things. Yeah. Not at all good for juggling because this is the kind of ball that when it hits your hand, it bounces. It doesn't land, it bounces.
And they're so lightweight.
Yes. So very hard to control. Very hard to see, too, because they were white. And I realized I can't look out toward the crowd to juggle because I can't see the ball. Once I throw it up, it's gone. What goes up should come down. So I couldn't juggle very well. But someone else did come up. Another lady said she could juggle. And then I think a third person came up and they said they could juggle. So we were going to have a juggle off. And see, beware the juggle off.
Maybe you should have a t-shirt made the juggle off and have two clowns juggling and looking at each other.
So I get up there and I try to juggle and I cannot. I get just a couple balls past each other and then they bounce and they fall. And the same thing was happening for someone else. Well, and then in my effort to try and do this, I'm kind of getting a little spastic trying to catch these balls that aren't flying like they're supposed to. And I knock over this whole bowl of the rest of all of these balls that then spill all over the stage.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm going ahead and laughing about it instead of getting embarrassed. And then I heard someone say from the crowd, "Daniel, how much have you had to drink?" I thought, oh, dear, this looks like I'm drunk and I'm on stage thinking I can juggle.
Did you yell out, "I only had Coke and ginger ale. I promise."
I calmed down a little bit after that because I realized, I don't want people to think I'm drunk.
Well, at least you weren't like stammering around and trying to pick them all up and falling all over yourself.
And I didn't end up winning the contest, though.
But you did win something.
Yeah,
cool.
I got a little water canteen that looks like it might even be bulletproof, too.
Really?
No.
You should drop it and see if it dents, and then you could tell if it's bulletproof.
Why? The bullet isn't shaped like a floor.
I know. It just seemed like a good idea.
Yeah. And that reminds me of, now let's go back in time. I don't have my harp.
You should
noise
like
handy.
Have a sound on the soundboard for that.
Yeah, I should. The first time I learned to juggle, I was at a Christian counseling seminar.
Really?
Yeah, a great place to learn, you know?
That's odd.
It's like three balls, God the Father, God the Son,
oh,
God
my.
The Holy Spirit. And you juggle them all together.
Oh, my.
Not quite like that. I had a roommate that was a really good juggler. He could juggle six balls at a time. He could juggle an apple as one of those and take a bite of it while he's juggling and then keep juggling it. He was just absolutely amazing. And up to that point, I was trying to learn how to juggle, but just wasn't getting it. And then at some point, it just clicked and suddenly I was able to juggle. It was amazing. It was like, you know, gift of God and some people get the gift of tongues. Some people, you know, get other things. I got the gift of juggling.
You know, that's how reading time works. Like suddenly,
reading time?
Yeah, learning how to tell time, learning how to read a clock.
Oh, yeah.
You just all of a sudden, like, get it. Like, you stare at the clock forever.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I get it.
That happens to me all the time because I don't like analog clocks. So I end up having to stare at it. Think, okay, big hand, little hand, that's a three, that's a five.
I like being able to read analog as well as military time. Those are both useful.
I like digital clocks. That military is the one that goes up to 24. With Jack Bauer. I'm Jack Bauer. I'm the new Batman. Jenny, why don't you share one of your stories?
Oh, is that the end of your juggling story?
Oh, no, it's not. Well,
he's getting old and senile early. Since we're saying senile a lot this episode, which I think should be a noodleism.
You can go to Egypt and you get to see Nile.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned how to juggle, and then I get a job. Not like right in that order, but I get this job. And when I'm there for the interview, which I never actually had an interview at my first job, but it was more like they just sat me down at a computer and said, design something. And it's like, yes, master. And so I designed something. And someone else there was learning how to juggle and started.
Wait, how old were you, first of all?
This was about 11 years ago. So I was 18.
Oh.
Shortly after I turned 18.
Did you have zits on your face?
I don't know. Probably.
I had zits on my face when I was 18.
That has nothing to do with juggling balls.
No, it doesn't. I just thought I'd say it.
Even the juggling balls had zits on their faces. One of the other people who eventually became my coworkers was trying to juggle and teaching someone else. Like, she could just barely juggle, and she was teaching one of the others how to do it. And so I thought, oh, this will be fun. So I went over and said, you can juggle? how do you do that? And so she started describing it, and she was saying, well, you take the balls in the hands, and you toss one to the other, and then you toss the other one back, and you just toss them back and forth like that. So
I can see where this is going.
I tried this a little bit and like struggled with it, and then like I threw one, and she was like, no,
pretend
no,
to like struggle this. With it.
And then just at some point, it was like it clicked. At some point, I just started juggling, and I'm like, like this, like this, like this. I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Her mouth dropped open, and she was like, yeah, like that. And I said, you're a great teacher. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Oh, and goodness. Then I told her, actually, I already knew how to juggle.
That was just mean. You sneaky Daniel.
Yeah.
That was sneaky. Sneaky, sneak.
Okay, now you can tell us
okay.
your story.
This is a story from my high school days, or actually probably junior high. One time we had this administrator who was really big into dramas. Like, he loved making, like, sets, and he loved making, like, costumes, and he just loved the whole, like, drama world. So we did plays every year.
Drama World.
Drama
right
World.
Next to Bass World.
Or wait, so this one year, I signed up for stage makeup because I thought, I'm a girl. I should be able to do this. And I didn't want to do speaking parts because I was always afraid I would forget my lines, which actually... Rewind quite a few years, I was asked to do a, you know, one line speaking part, and I still remember it. This was in elementary school, and I was asked to say, as for parties, what a celebration! Like, I still remember it. I didn't do it. I chickened out. And I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. So somebody else ended up having to do it for that play. But anyway, in high school, I signed up for stage makeup, and... we started practicing on the stage makeup at this theater. We were backstage. We were practicing. It was nothing, you know, for real yet. We were just practicing. And I got selected to be the dummy. So I had to sit down in the chair and have people put makeup on me. But this was the first, you know, sort of demonstration. So I guess only one person put makeup on me that time. And she got to where she was showing people how... to do like eyebrow creases, because you have to kind of define things so that people can see them from you know, the seats, from the audience.
Eyebrow creases?
Eyebrow, like, wrinkles, like the creases, you know, when you, like...
Oh, okay. I was thinking, like...
when you raise your eyebrows,
I you thought have wrinkles. You meant, like, take every single little eyebrow and put a crease in it.
Oh, gosh, no.
How does that make it more visible?
No, just drawing lines on the forehead to make people look old or make them look expressive, but stuff like that. So she was like mashing my skin on my forehead together, and she could not get a single wrinkle because I was very inexpressive when I was younger. So like I never raised my eyebrows when I was a teenager, I guess. So I didn't have any eyebrow. No, I forehead. That's the word I wanted. Forehead wrinkles. I didn't have any of those. And so she was like, okay, well, let's just move on. So she gets down to this part right here.
Your mustache area?
The little dip. What's this thing called? The lip dip part.
I don't know. I learned that's this where the straw thing. Goes.
Straw? What? It goes through your lip?
Well, I don't know. It was something my older sister told me, probably just to make me be silly.
Weird.
Yeah. It worked.
Well, anyway, I don't have one of those. I don't have a lip dip thing. If I do, it grew after that because I didn't have one back then. So she was like, oh my gosh, you don't have this either. And those were the first two things on the list of her to teach people how to define. And I didn't have either of them. She was like, okay, just let's have a new person sit down in this chair. So I had to get up. I wasn't even worthy of being the dummy. So that was embarrassing.
Oh.
And So the class went on, and I paid attention pretty well, you know, to the basics of stage makeup. And then it came time to actually do some real costume makeup. And it was the evening of the drama. And that was actually when I began to second guess my decision to do stage makeup. Because they assigned me to do the makeup of one of the guys I happened to have a crush on at the time. And I was never like the giggly type or like the bubbly type. I was kind of like the stand as still as you can and sweat in your armpits and blush a whole lot when you were nervous.
You sweat in your armpits too?
Oh, gosh.
How, we're married, and how did I not know this?
Well, I mean, I sweat a lot back then when I was, because I had a lot of reasons to be nervous, I guess. And this guy made me really nervous. So I stood there and I did his makeup for him in pretty much total silence, and it was awkward, and and I was just, my mind was racing. I was like, oh my gosh. And occasionally I would tell him in a barely audible voice, can you close your eyes? And so I would do his makeup in like silence. And I got through that experience finally, and it was painful, and someone actually ended up having to do his whole face over again because I did such an awful job. And then that was the only person I did. Like, I was assigned to only one person, I guess, because I pretty much sucked at stage makeup. But, you know, I did the whole little crisscross in the crow's feet kind of area. The eye, and,
like that's the contact ejection switch. That's how it works for me. It's I pull and the contact pops out. A contact ejection switch.
And I remember I did like the highlighting on the nose,
the target area where it's the where you shoot right between the eyes.
No, this part right here.
Oh, the sneezer.
And I did a few eyebrow. I did it, the sneezer. Oh god.
Yeah, because if I pound myself about there as a kid, I would sneeze. Oh. We've had this conversation before.
Have we?
Yeah. When window screens would also do it too.
Oh.
So you did the sneezer area too.
And I did his forehead with the little eyebrow wrinkles, and that was awkward because he had zits and I was nervous. So like holding that pencil in sweaty palms was not so easy, and making perfectly straight lines across his forehead, not easy. So yeah, his makeup pretty much sucked after I did it. So they had to do it all over again.
If you feel a drop of something on you, it's not sweat. It's tears, because I've made you look so beautiful that it makes me cry.
And I put foundation on him, which felt weird. But in costume makeup, everything's normal.
Well, I'll bet he felt tortured, though, all through it, too.
No, actually, like, well, maybe he did because I was doing it, but I mean, probably felt weird to have makeup put on him, because that's not an everyday occurrence for guys, or it shouldn't be. So, I don't know what he felt like, but I'm very sorry. If you're listening, I'm so sorry.
Yes, they're going to search you out and find this podcast and be like...
I can't believe you were going through all that while you're putting my makeup on. Now I understand.
That was sweat on me after all. Not the tears of a unicorn. And here I thought I was being blessed by the gods in my acting career.
I'm sprinkling you with holy water.
And I was going to be the greatest thing since Mark Wahlberg.
Huh?
Cricket. Cricket. He's not a great actor.
Oh, okay. Well, you could have just said Leonardo DiCaprio if you've been not a good actor.
Rose, I'll never let go.
Oh, it was totally enough room on that door for two.
Did you want to share your other story, or you want it to be my turn next?
I think it should be your turn.
Okay.
And then maybe I'll share another. Maybe.
One of my other stories from early on when I was working, I really liked this job when I got it. This other job I had, that I was one of those, not a workaholic, but I just liked the job so much that I would do it so much. Maybe that's what all workaholics say. But they gave me this special project of making a video. And because I'd made some videos before for my church and they'd seen a couple of them. And so they said, well, hey, why don't you make a video for us for this thing? So I was doing this and I don't know what I was thinking, but I would stay up until 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning working on this project there at the office. And I was the only person to see the facilities at night. And this was an interesting place where they
was
had...
Was it spooky?
Yeah, a little bit. And
were you surrounded by empty cubicles?
Yes.
Were there weird noises?
Yes.
Was there green mist?
Yes.
Oh, no!
There was also this thing going...
Ew.
I think it was just moaning myrtle.
I have a story after this about green mist.
It doesn't have to do with fart dust, does it?
No.
Okay, good.
Don't ruin it.
And so one of the things that I started learning to do was sleeping at the office.
Did you have a cot?
No. But I had to work out something because at that time I had an hour and a half commute from where I was living to the place where I was working at that time. So I couldn't move down close enough, but just had to keep going.
Gosh,
back and
you're
forth
brave.
Like that. Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
So a couple times I thought, there's no way I'm going to drive back home for an hour and a half at 3 a.m. in the morning and come back at 6 a.m. in the morning. Because that was my thinking, that
yeah.
if I work really late, I have to show up on time still the next day.
Oh, yeah.
So what I decided to do was sleep at the office. And I started to learn like where all the good sleeping places were in the office.
Where were they?
Like different. One of them was my supervisor's office because I knew what time he came in.
Did he know you were sleeping in there? Did you sleep on any cabinets ever? Like on top of places?
I slept right between acquisitions and appropriations. No, I don't. I would sleep under a desk because I didn't want someone to like, well, I guess if someone walked in, it'd still be awkward anyway.
Did you like wear pajamas and everything?
Yeah.
Did you shower at the office?
Well, yes, they did have a shower at the office, at one of the offices where I did this at.
But why didn't more people do this? I'm wondering. If they had a shower at the office?
For some reason, the CEO had a shower. Like,
why?
In his private bathroom, he had a shower in there too. So that's where I did it, is I would shower in the CEO's bathroom.
Did he know you were doing this?
I don't think so.
It's like, why is all this blonde hair in my shower? Where is this coming from? My hair is not blonde.
In fact, I don't have any hair. When did this happen?
Some ghost with blonde hair has been spending time in my shower.
That's where all the green mist is coming from. And one of the other places that I discovered worked really well is I realized I need to be in a room that's locked so someone can't just walk in. But I didn't expect anyone would be at the office at odd hours.
I wonder what the CEO would have said to you if you had told him, sir, I sleep in your office at night. Is that okay? I shower in your shower at night. Is that okay?
That sounds like I'm a stalker.
Yeah,
I'm
you should have thought of that.
I want to be just like you. See, I'm wearing your clothes now, too.
Ew.
And I answer the phone for you. No. I found that this place had a recording studio, and I found that that was a good place to sleep because sometimes they would leave it unlocked, but it had a lock on the inside.
Was it all the padded rooms and the stuff?
Yeah, and it was nice and quiet, and there was plenty of space to lay out a sleeping bag.
I bet it was pitch black in there. Mm-hmm. Was it?
No, not quite.
Or did
it? It actually had a glass wall, but it was a specially made glass wall. So I decided that I would sleep in this, and I thought, well, I'll wake up at this particular time, and that'll give me plenty of time to get ready, to shower in the CEO's office, and then be at my
weird.
Desk. To be at my desk, and no one know that I'd slept there overnight.
How many times did you do this, would you say?
Maybe a dozen.
Wow.
At different locations, because I moved around a bit. So was there in the sound studio, assuming I could wait until later to wake up. Well, then I hear a vacuum cleaner outside. This is something I didn't think of. The cleaning crew comes early. And I just thought, oh.
Was this your first time?
I think so, yeah. And I just thought, okay, well, I'm behind a locked door. They probably don't have a key, so this will be fine.
They'll what are you thinking? They're outside. The janitorial staff. They have keys to everything.
So about the time I lie down, I hear the vacuum cleaner getting closer and closer. And then the door rattles. And I just thought, yeah, it's locked. They're not going to come in. But then I hear jingle, jingle, jingle.
Oh, click. No.
As then they open the door and start vacuuming. So I realize I better get their attention and let them know, hey, I'm here. So they don't just like freak out, like thinking there's a dead body here or something.
A dead body that's looking at them.
But
awkwardly from a sleeping bag.
And waving and smiling. But I did try to get his attention. Thankfully, it was a guy.
Good.
I got his attention, but not in the way I intended. He did not see me. Of course, he couldn't hear me.
What kind of pajamas did you have on?
I don't know.
Really, like,
it's a very personal question.
Dinosaur themed pajamas.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Spider-Man.
When he saw me, he did this expression, which I have never, ever seen him do since then. And he's a very kind of reserved guy. Well, you know how I said there was...
It has to be a sound clip. You have to grab that one. Okay.
I'll just do it on demand.
Please. Okay, continue.
So I about gave this guy a heart attack, and he might have been the dead body that someone else would find in there. And ever since then... We've never talked about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Poor guy. Please grab that sound clip. Okay. That was a good story.
What's your story about green mist?
My mom is a teacher, and she used to stay really late, like later than anybody else, because she knew if she took her work home, she would never get it done because she's a procrastinator, and that's awful, and that's where I got it from. Anyway, she would have these dreams during the school year, like maybe before the school year, and one of them was about this green mist. Like, she had this dream that she was working really late, as she usually does. And she dreamed that she went out of her classroom and it was spooky dark. And under the science lab door, there came this creeping green mist. And it was coming
out of the science lab door. That's perfect.
Yeah. Her room was really close to the science lab. Like, it was across the hall and down a few doors. So here comes the green mist. And she is trying her hardest to make it to the double doors.
Bum, bum.
I think she actually made it, but that dream scared her really bad. Like, every time that she stayed late at night, she would think of the green mist coming to get her.
Do you remember the old Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston?
No, but I do remember Charlton Heston.
Wow, that was a face. I think in it, the 10th plague was the angel of death came and killed all the firstborn in Egypt, but not those who were protected by God and showed that protection on their doorposts. But in this movie, the angel of death was portrayed as a mist, and I'm pretty sure it was this green mist that floated along the ground and like in the hallways, and if anyone fell in it, they were dead. And I remember being terrified of green mist also as a kid, because I was thinking, that's the angel of death.
Oh my.
But then I think my older sister comforted me by saying, don't worry, Daniel, you're not the firstborn. So it's like, oh yeah, I am immune, green mist. Come and blow on me. I am immune.
Come and blow on you.
Come and wisp gracefully past my fingers, for you cannot kill me with your little green mist.
Oh. Would you like another story?
Yes.
I will tell the story of jogging pants.
No way.
What happened?
Oh boy, this is going to be good, I can tell.
I just had to throw that in.
My sister and I lived in a small neighborhood, and there was actually one other couple at the time that had children about our age. So we would often go over there, but we were not allowed in the house. But that was Mama's, you know, way of putting her foot down. She was like, don't go in that house. We never knew why.
But it's now full of green mist.
Now I can understand. She totally didn't want to inconvenience the mother of these other kids in the neighborhood. So she would tell us, don't go in the house. Oh, and I think later she told us that also the husband had weird work hours, so she didn't want us waking him up or anything. So she knew that, and we didn't. So sometimes we would try and like squish ourselves up against like the outer wall inside the house and reach the phone and call Mom and say, can we come in the house, please? And we were already in. She knew that. So sometimes she would say, yeah, just like, no, you need to get out. So like, it was just funny how we thought we could like mash ourselves against the wall and make our way over to the phone and call Mom.
Well, that's the best way to avoid disobedience.
Yeah,
mash yourself up against the wall. And
yeah, we thought we were still outside.
Works for mashed potatoes.
Why not us? Mashing ourselves against the walls. So there was this one day that I really had to pee, and I was wearing jogging pants. And we would come over on our bikes, and I biked my little pink jogging pants self over to their house with my sister, and we were all playing, and suddenly I really had to pee. So I thought, oh my gosh, I need to go in the house. I really don't want to disobey Mom, but I really need to go. So I thought better of that, because I think we'd called like maybe a few days ago, and she'd said no. So one of these neighbor girls said, why don't you go behind a tree? And I had not thought of this. And I thought, wow, this is a brilliant idea. Sounds tough, but I think I can do it. So this house was about a block or two away. So it was two streets over. So I knew I couldn't, you know, make it in time. And I knew I couldn't go in the house. So I was like, okay, I'm going to pee behind this tree. So I went behind this tree. And I start peeing, and I suddenly realized that girls can't pee outside. I peed all down the back of my jogging pants. I didn't mean to, but I did. And then I came out behind the tree, and my sister and the neighbor girls all laughed at me, and I pedaled my little wet pink jogging pants self home, and I cried. I was like, Mom, I really had to pee, and I peed on my jogging pants.
And this came up in marital counseling too. She has been scarred for life from this.
I don't wear jogging pants anymore. Yeah,
they give her nightmares.
Heebie-jeebies, especially pink ones.
She just sees a pair of pink jogging pants.
And I go, and, what was that sound you did? That's what I do when I see pink jogging pants.
Especially if it's a pair of pink jogging pants hanging on a tree.
Oh, that's awful.
That's like, yeah, that's like fall over dead kind of stuff.
Oh, dear.
Well, speaking of fall over dead kind of stuff, we would love for you to send us your funny stuff that will make us fall over dead from laughing. Maybe like what just happened to Jeremy. So send us.
Jeremy's not dead.
Send us your funny stories, or if you want to share with us your funny theories about what happened to Jeremy, Email feedback@cleancomedypodcast.com or call 903-231-2221 and leave a voicemail there. Don't worry, it doesn't go to my phone. And stalkers, it doesn't go to my phone.
Or if you'd like to purchase my pink jogging pants that scarred my life, I can send them to you.
Oh, that would be so gross.
$50. I don't have them anymore. I promise. Wouldn't that be sad if I didn't wash them ever and I just put them in a bag and I kept them forever?
It's like an Inception where there's a safe somewhere in someone's dreams and their deepest, darkest secret is inside that safe. And your safe, instead of a little
pink jogging pants. And if they were peed on, then I was awake. And if they weren't peed on, then I was asleep.
You can also go to cleancomedypodcast.com and click on the send a voice message tab and record a message right from your computer and it goes right to us. And get the show notes or comment on the show notes for this episode over at cleancomedypodcast.com/115. We would love for you to join us for a live episode. And like I said, we will be skipping July 18th. So our next episode will be on recorded live on July 25th, Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That's GMT minus 4. Those are our new summer hours until further notice. That will be the times we'll be recording, and that's over at noodle.mx. And over there right now, we've had a lot of great people hanging out with us in the chat room. Doxin, Dream Drop Distance, Rose is Dancing for Christ, Mary, Hajbao, The Writer, Tay, KS, and several anonymouses over there, Skittles and Elizabeth and a bunch of people, Sleeping Beauty in there too. I think she fell asleep though. So we hope that you'll join us in this fun community every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That's GMT minus 4 over at noodle.mx/live. And now other people are in there too saying, oh, me too. I'm here. Like Telpri. And Jeremy's not there though. So send us your theories on why Jeremy's not there. And you can follow each of us on Twitter. I'm Daniel J. Lewis, and you can follow me on twitter.com/theramennoodle.
And I'm Jenny, and you can follow me at twitter.com/jennysnook.
And Jeremy, if he's still alive and tweeting, you can follow at twitter.com/phlegon. That is phlegon. That's how you spell that, by the way. And check everything out. Get the old episodes and all of that over at cleancomedypodcast.com. And please leave some ratings and reviews in iTunes. We'd love to see all of that. You can get those links and subscribe to the podcast if you aren't already over at cleancomedypodcast.com. Jenny, any last words?
Bye. Thanks for listening.
Next time life makes you feel like an amateur,
don't wear pink jogging pants.
Because they'll pee on you. Suddenly, this song sounds like a counseling session. Jenny, no one can blame you.
Oh, goodness.
The Ramen Noodle Clean Comedy Podcast is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our podcasts like Once Upon a Time, How to Podcast and Use Audacity, Christian Worldview, and our newly revised podcast about Christian movie reviews with critical thinking, all at noodle.mx. That's the Noodle Mix Network at noodle.mx.